Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Jocelyn Sambira at the United Nations in New York. In this week's program, the women of Syria, the backbone of peace and reconciliation in the war-torn country, and a glimmer of hope in a flailing peace process.
From the depths of suffering that is the permanent companion of so many Syrian men and women,
بأننا نعم نستطيع نحن النساء السوريات أن نكون العمود الفقري للمصالحة وأن نكون صانعات أساسيات للسلام في سوريا. نعم سيداتي وسادتي أنا واحدة.
That was female peace activist Insaf Hamid speaking through an interpreter. She lost her only son in a terror attack on his school.
مئات الآلاف من الأمهات السوريات.
أنا من أقف أمامكم الآن.
فقدت ابني الوحيد مع خمسة من رفاقه في عمل إرهابي بشع على مقاعد الجامعة وهو يتقدم لامتحان. سامحت وصفحت ومددت يدي إلى كل سوري يؤمن بأن لا يمكن أن يكون هناك خلاص لسوريا إلا بوقف هذا الدم. ربما استطعت أن أسامح.
Women like her pay a heavy price every day in this brutal war that is now in its sixth year. They are tortured, raped, murdered, kidnapped, and forced into marriage. Around 400,000 people have died, close to 5 million people have been forced to flee the country, and 7 million are internally displaced. But in the midst of what the UN humanitarian chief has described as a callous carnage, the women of Syria go to great lengths to hold the fort while men take up arms. They brave the streets, the shelling, and terrorists to keep food on the table, keep kids in school, and basically try to salvage what they can of their lives. For this, they have reached out to one another and set up networks across the divide. Having been largely ignored since 2012, when the intra-Syrian peace talks began, the women have elbowed their way in, demanding a better representation in the political process. Supported by the UN Agency for the Empowerment of Women, UN Women, the Women's Advisory Board to the Office of the Special Envoy for Syria was born. Stéphane de Mistura, the UN Special Envoy and mediator, often consults with the 12 female civil society representatives that make up the board. Their role is to raise matters missing from the agenda, make recommendations to assist peace talks, address key points of contention, and offer creative solutions. De Mistura had this to say during a press briefing in March this year when the Women's Advisory Board made their start.
I'm very proud of it. And the message is we need to empower the women of Syria. They have a lot to tell us. And I hope that will be applied both by the opposition, by anyone else, and certainly by what we call the future of Syria. Thank you.
The board has been a glimmer of hope in a peace process that's been very challenging and depressing, according to the head of UN Women's Arab States section, Hibab Kassas, who was instrumental in helping launch this platform. However, she notes, it was not easy to get them in one room.
In the beginning, it was very difficult for these women to come toward for a common agenda because there's a lot of demonizing of the other. They feel that the distance between them is very, very vast. And what's between them that is common is very, very little. As time and passed and as trust was building, they've realized that they have a lot in common, a lot more in common. The very first thing that we worked on that we knew they have in common was that they all believed in women's rights. And that women should have a voice, and women should be represented. So that was our starting point.
According to media reports, some Syrians reject the advisory board representation of women, and some have raised concerns about tokenism. Monira Khaje, a civil engineer turned activist and now member of the board, says she will not be deterred. She lives in Damascus, trying to live a normal life while bombs explode in suburbs surrounding the city. Here's Monira.
The fear, the lack of security, all this had such an impact on me that I moved my daughter out of Syria, my only daughter. I have lost my job. I was an engineer working in the suburbs of Damascus, places that have been destroyed in the war. These are no-go areas now. I don't even know if they exist anymore. Most of my friends have left. I have nowhere to go. By nature, I am outgoing. I used to socialize a lot. Now I stay home sometimes for days. I barely visit my neighbors.
The hardest thing to deal with, apart from the fear, she says, is the loneliness.
I have a lot of fear. I have hope based on fear. Fear that Syria will be further torn apart, that becomes an even more divided society. This war, if it ends, will leave many future problems to deal with. We may no longer find ourselves in a Syria that is multicultural and democratic, but I don't see myself doing anything other than what I'm working on now. Many people ask me, why are you still in Syria? You should leave. I feel that my presence helps the people who are suffering and that my optimism gives them some hope. This makes me happy. This might be a sign of insanity, but it is what it is. I don't see myself engaged in anything other than seeking a political settlement to this crisis.
A Syrian mother uprooted by war has a simple request for world leaders. Put yourselves in my place. Hala Kamil and her four children were featured in the German film Watani, My Homeland, which documented their journey out of war-torn Aleppo. She said the city was everything to her and her family despite all the destruction the city had seen. Hala said she would live on top of the rubble and be comfortable as long as she knew that there were no jets bombing her. She said the world had lost its humanity and conscience and society was no longer ruled by laws. She said once you eliminate the law of humanity, there is no other law that supersedes it. Deanne Penn reports.
The film tells the story of why they left Syria. Hala's husband, Abu Ali, had joined the Free Syrian Army when war reached their neighborhood in the city of Aleppo. He was captured by the militant group ISIL in 2014, prompting Hala and the children to flee Syria for asylum in Germany. Marcel Metel-Siefen is the director of the film.
It's a story about identity. It's a story about a family who were ready to sacrifice basically everything for a country. And this country, they felt at the end betrayed by their own country.
The Syrian conflict has generated what the UN describes as one of the most complex and dynamic humanitarian crises in the world. Nearly 5 million citizens have run to Lebanon, Jordan, and other neighboring countries, while 6.5 million are displaced within their homeland. Others risk their lives in treacherous sea journeys to Europe. The death toll continues to mount as the crisis enters its sixth year. The UN estimates that more than 250,000 have been killed. Hala had a simple message for world leaders.
When I talk with anyone about my troubles, I wish they would put themselves in my shoes, put their children in my children's situation. Would anyone imagine watching their children be torn to pieces in front of their eyes? Would anyone imagine watching the house collapse on their kids while they're watching? If they think they would bear that, then they wouldn't do anything to help. I just want them to close their eyes and imagine what's happening to us, happening to them. That's all I ask.
The United Nations says there are 130 million people like Hala worldwide. They've been uprooted by conflict or persecution or forced from their homes due to disasters. Hala said she's perplexed as to why war persists, and she called for peace everywhere.
My call for peace is not just for Syria. I want peace to prevail all over the world, regardless of anyone's affiliation or religion, be they Muslim or Christian. It doesn't matter to me what you believe in, what your religion is. All I care about is that we are all humans.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from United Nations Radio in New York. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Jocelyn Sambira.